Money Show. Small
business. Pavlo Fatidis is going political. He's director and chief executive of Auric Business Accelerator. You want to go political when it comes to small business?
Well, I think, you know, we're sitting in the time of politics.
And yeah.
Bruce, it's fascinating. I've been looking at the three leading parties in these elections. And as I look at them and contemplate them, I see it every single day in businesses. You have very large, well-established, mature businesses. You have the wannabes, the kind of what we call gazelles. I mean, that's the kind of common language that gets bandied about. No one really knows what it is, but you know that it's a fast-growing business. And then you have the startup businesses, and all three of them have to traverse up the business growth life cycle. And the challenges they face on that business growth life cycle are so similar to what we're seeing in the politics of the three big political parties dominating the headlines at the moment.
I'm fascinated. Take me through it.
Okay, well, as you know, there are three big phases in the life cycle. You're going to always start up. You hopefully are going to go up a growth curve, and you then reach a point of maturity. And the way you deal with particular elements of how you build that business over that life cycle is going to differ. So, for example, in the early stages, the kind of leadership you need in a startup business is going to be very individually driven. It's going to be through force of personality. It's going to be someone who has been around the block in that sector, in that industry, hopefully has failed a couple of times, has licked their wounds, gotten up and continued. And in those failures, they learned about what worked. They learned about what didn't work. But most importantly, they're persevering. They're going to be people with a strong vision, high degree of passion, and have the ability to mobilize and move customers into action.
Okay. In this case, we talk about political leaders, the customers or the voters. And that's what's been so interesting. Just take me through the ANC life cycle, if you like. I mean, if we consider the ANC started in 1914, and we then look at it maybe from the growth phase of the ANC as it's unbanned in 1990, and it has an extraordinary burst of growth.
It did, but now it's reached a point of maturity. It's a very stable organization. It's a massive organization. They've got good structures in place. The structures go broad, they grow deep. And the leadership in the ANC, you know, I was listening to your interview earlier about who's the individual that's going to be leading the biggest beer company in the world now?
Carlos Brito.
Brito. And I was listening to how Carlos Brito was being described in big, mature businesses. Very often, you're looking for a strong leader. It's the strong man symbol that leads that business. Someone who's going to hold the fleet together and lead the fleet, preferably.
Provided they're not bonkers and not dangerous and not megalomaniacs, of course.
But that's where things do go wrong, because yeah. What happens in very big businesses, when you have all those resources behind you and you have all that power behind you, you begin to believe your own propaganda. Mm. And in fact, that's really where the expression comes from, right? An emperor has?
Yeah, no clothes.
No clothes.
Yeah, you start believing your own PR. So you go through the startup phase, and the ANC had a long and slow and agonizing startup. I mean, it was banned, its leaders were imprisoned, its leaders were killed, and went into many went into exile, came back 1990 through the 1990s, went through an extraordinary growth phase, and have hit maturity. The Democratic Alliance has got its roots probably in the 1940s and 50s with the United Party. And out of that came the Progs, and out of that came the Democratic Party, and out of that came the Democratic Alliance.
And if you really look at what they did in the early days, which is exactly what you do in a startup, do you know that it takes about 3 years, more or less, to figure out who your customers are in a startup business?
Now, you see, this is where I'm going to dispute, because we'll talk about the EFF, and they worked out who their customers were long before they even began.
Well, not really, because if you look at the business leader over there, the business leader in that particular instance, Commander-in-Chief,
yes.
I believe his title is. So Julius Malema has a long political history.
Yeah.
He failed in the ANC twice. Those are the two failures. He learned from those two failures and then reinvented a vision outside of a framework that wasn't working for him. So he actually, it's like working in a very large corporate, seeing what the corporate's doing consistently wrong to a niche of customers, leaving the corporate and saying, well, I have 10 years of experience in the sector. I have 10 years of interacting with those customers. These customers are having needs that are not met. I'm going to create my startup in that space. So in a sense, he has a 10-year insight into the target customers that he found.
I mean, whenever you tell us about going to start your own small business, you always tell us, stay in the corporate environment as long as you possibly can. Draw the salary. Get the experience. Learn who your customer is. Figure out how you're going to serve them. And the day you break with your full-time employment and you go into the entrepreneurial space, which is essentially what the EFF did 3 years ago, be ready to get the rubber on the road. And within a year of their existence, they had 6% of the national vote and could get as much as 10 2 years later.
Mm. And that's where part of so if you look at how the marketing works in that environment, in a sense, you're responding directly to the needs of what a group of customers that weren't being serviced before want.
Yeah.
And Bruce, it's interesting because I can tell you that the way we used to build businesses 15 years ago was fundamentally different to the way we built them 10 years ago, which is completely different to the way we built them 5 years ago, which is fundamentally different to the way we're going to build them now. Things change. And when things change and you don't remain close to those customers, that's when niches of dissatisfied groups of people form. You look at the banking environment. It's undergoing quite radical change. Yeah. People are branching off, or groups of customers are branching off saying, we are not happy with the way we get serviced by big banks anymore. We're not happy with ways of transacting anymore. We're looking for different things. And you've seen it. And I heard the one question that was asked earlier, the how does it work, was around the blockchain.
Yes.
And the blockchain's growing. Peer-to-peer lending is growing. There are a whole lot of new ways of interacting financially with services in the finance space that didn't exist before. All the businesses in that space are small niche entities that broke off from big players saying, well, we can't service you. There's a market there that's ready made.
We talk about politics. We talk about political organizations as businesses. We're taking them through the startup phase, the growth phase, and what happens when they hit maturity. How do business leaders identify their customers, they identify markets? And we are kind of defining tonight's small business conversation around what is happening in South African politics. This Pavlo Fotidis is incredibly creative.
The Money Show.
Small Business Focus with Pavlo Fotidis. He is with Auric Business Accelerator. Tebogo in Midrand, are you playing our political game, or is this a question in that sort of vein?
Well, maybe in the licking wounds type of scenario. Bruce, one thing that I wanted to know from you guys is, you know, I started this business. I was in corporate, but I left to do contract work in IT. And I managed to turn that conflict into a small business. Now, while I was working there, I managed to get an employer. Well, I managed to employ someone to do the work for me while I go look for something else. And that was working out 25 grand a month, and, well, 25,000 to put it in light words. But now, the thing is, my employer sort of like cheated me, and he is now servicing my customer. And how do I lick that wound? I worked so hard for the deal. I used to wake up early in the morning, do presentations.
Thanks very much for the question. My employee stole my customer. What should I do? Thank you, Tebogo. A bit of a crackly line there. But yeah, what an interesting story. It's a little bit like, I don't know, Julius Malema leaving the ANC, and he's stolen a bunch of their customers.
That's exactly right. So I suppose, too bad, so sad. It's one of the lessons of life. It's happened to most of us who've been in business. And Tebogo, this is where, when you employ somebody, you need to have proper contracts in place that specify what the person can do and can't do. And when you engage with someone as a customer, especially for the delivery of, let's say, a service that's going to run over a period of time in your space, IT consulting, you've got to have proper contracts in place about non-solicitation, for example. And those are completely justified. They're allowed. You put them in place and it protects you on both sides. The second thing is, when you're building your business, your very first customer, my friend, you don't let anyone near them. You look after the customer and you deepen and build and entrench your relationship.
I think what Tebogo did, which was, okay, I've got a business going. I've got one guy servicing my one customer. I'm going to go and find something else, he said. Not grow the business. Not keep my relationship with my primary customer and go and get other customers. it was go and do something else. Teboho lost control of the process.
Very much so. And, you know, the way that you actually get your second customer is on the back of how you build your first customer. Mm. And that's why sometimes you start with one customer, you focus on one customer, deepen that relationship and stretch beyond that.
Pavlo Fotidi is my guest this evening. He's in studio tonight. Your calls, your questions, anything to do with growing your small business, anything to do with the politics of small business and the small business of politics. On the next Money Show, the Friday File. It's day one of the Olympics, the official opening ceremony. We're going to the Olympic Games, figuratively speaking, with Dr. Michael Goldman. He is the assistant professor in the sport management program at the University of San Francisco. He also works at Gibbs. We're looking at the business of the Olympic Games, going beyond gold, silver, and bronze.
The Money Show.
Small business.
Back to politics and back to the way in which we look at the business of politics. And the ANC is the mature party. The DA has also stolen a lot of customers from the ANC, but they've always been a competitor. It's not like they've ever been in the fold.
Yeah, but you know, if you really look at the messaging that was coming through, the startup company, the EFF, it's messaging. You know, it doesn't have a track record. It hasn't delivered anything of any value. So you look at the messaging that was coming through there, Bruce. It was mostly about the future. That's where the focus had to be. It was the future that we will promise you if you work with us. The DA has some track record behind it, although it's based predominantly down in the Western Cape. It has some track record behind it. And its focus was, well, speak to our customers. Look how things work where we are. And the more mature party really was relying very heavily, as big businesses do, on tying in customers that they've got, on building loyalty with customers they've got. And in fact, the one statement I heard our president speak was, you owe it to your history, your ancestors, in order to vote with the ANC. It's very much that. You know, we worked with your father to build his business, and now that you've operating the business, you should stay with us because we were with your father through thick and thin. Or they create very high barriers to exit.
But that's it. And you're creating, you're putting handcuffs on rather than creating a future, creating a promise of the future. And that's where the EFF has been successful. It's, whether that future is a realistic future or not is a moot point. It's an attractive promise of delivery. And if you're in a small business environment and you are competing against the big guys, you've got to make some elaborate promises. What you've then got to do once you've got the customers is you've got to deliver to those customers, because customers ain't stupid.
You've got to absolutely deliver onto those customers, and you've got to hold those customer relationships. Exactly the point that we raised with Teboho. That very first customer you have is your gold. Firstly, you're going to learn more about your business from them than anyone else. You're going to learn more about customers like them than from anyone else. And their view of you is what grows that business. And if you look at what the EFF was so clever about, its entire imagery was one of, it was a military imagery. They created disciples, lieutenants, fighters.
Commissars.
Fighters. I mean, there's a lot of glory behind that, and you want to be associated to that.
And the brand is strong, and the brand is visual and visible. Wherever you go, red is...
It stands out.
It stands out. Most certainly does. As a consumer of a business product, says Pierre, I can immediately stop buying it, or I can take it back. I can return the product and get a refund if I don't like it. In politics, it takes 4 years for me to do the same. And that's why politicians have got a big advantage, I suppose, over other small businesses.
Well, they do.
They've got
but
a captive market for a number of years.
I'm not so sure, Bruce, and I'm not so sure if I agree with that statement, because I would rather have a customer who doesn't like me and leaves me fast than one who is tied in and sits there brooding, grumbling, moaning, unhappy about the remaining 3 years that he or she has to spend with me. I'm not sure which one is more poisonous.
Okay, now listen, so high level, we look at the three big small businesses in South Africa. There's the corporate, it's the ANC, it's the medium-sized Democratic Alliance, and it is the upstart startup of the EFF. In 30 seconds each, as to where they are in their life cycles.
Yeah, I think that's where they are in their life cycles. The EFF has to have the ability to sustain. I think when I look at business failure, it has less to do with anything but the ability to sustain. If you persist, you will succeed. the DA, don't accelerate too hard and don't accelerate too far away from what you can deliver. You've got a reputation, build a reputation and move on from there. And the ANC as the big mature business, Bruce, it sounds terrible. But the only way for them to get ahead, in my view, like most big businesses in established mature markets, you have to cannibalize yourself before you get cannibalized.
Explain that.
You have to reinvent yourself. And the only way to reinvent yourself is to ensure that you have created a leadership structure that will not be plagued by both the successes and the failures of the past.
Taking politics into business and explaining it just as the only way Pavlo can. Pavlo Fotiades, Director, Chief Executive at Auric Business Accelerator.